Our scripture reading today is found in Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debts, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he was owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Lord, you have given us so much beyond our comprehension. Lord, we ask that you would help us to appreciate those gifts so that we may go from this place offering grace and love to all those that we meet, just a portion of what you share with us. May you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Toward the end of last year's Oscar-nominated coming-of-age film, Lady Bird, which was not a movie about Lady Bird Johnson, confused a lot of people, was about an 18-year-old girl named Lady Bird, played by Saoirse Ronan, who is in the middle of a fight with her mother towards the end of the movie. Her mom's played by the phenomenal Laurie Metcalf. You may remember her from the show Roseanne. Lady Bird has just been suspended from her Catholic high school, and her mom is giving her the business. "What we give you, it's never enough. It's never enough," is what her mom says, expressing the sentiment that Lady Bird is not appreciative of what her parents have sacrificed for her. And her mom keeps going, goes for the guilt trip jugular. "Do you have any idea how much it costs to raise you? And how much you're just throwing it away every day? Do you have any idea how much it cost to raise you?" I think I would have melted if my parents had said that to me. Taking a beat, Lady Bird gets up out of her seat and says, "Give me a number." And her mom says, "I don't understand." Lady Bird runs over to the computer, grabs a legal pad and a pen, and says, "Give me a number." Her mom again says, "I don't understand." And lady says, "Give me a number of how much it costs to raise me. And I'm going to get older and I'm going to make a lot of money and write you a check for what I owe you so that I never have to speak to you again." And Lori Metcalf, in her brilliant performance, without missing a beat, says, "Well, I highly doubt that you're going to be able to get a job good enough to do that." Boom. That movie's phenomenal because it really gets at that mother-daughter relationship in the movie and how much they love each other and how hard they fight, and it's all there. And in this biting scene, this biting scene came to my mind this week as I was considering the passage from Matthew. How can we possibly calculate what others, our parents, our siblings, friends, colleagues, have sacrificed on our behalf? Now that I have kids, I think more and more about my parents. How can I possibly give back to them what they gave up for me? What would that even look like? It's a sacrifice I cannot fathom, and one that I can't imagine putting a dollar sign next to. Then you take the next step. What about what God has given to us? Our very life, our breath, our livelihood, our existence. What do you do with that? If I took it in, if you took it in truly and truly grasped the magnitude of what God has given to us, I think we'd all probably just explode into a million pieces. It's overwhelming grace, pure and simple. And if you shift the way you look at life from this perspective of gratitude, it changes how you approach everything. You no longer live in that self-entitlement, what the world owes me, but rather, what do I owe the world? It's JFK's most famous line, right? What can your country, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country? Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant is trying to teach his disciples, and then in turn us, the church, what it means to live inside this overwhelming grace. How are we to respond to this incredible grace? The parable clues us in to what kind of behavior God expects from us. First, we need to know a few details about this story. I mentioned to the kids earlier, but this is an important part. I just used gabazillion because that's pretty much the honest story here. So in the story, it says that somehow this slave owed the king somewhere around 10,000 talents. Okay? Now you hear that, you go, that's not a lot of talents. That's not much. Except when you realize actually how much people made back then. According to a scholar, in Galilee, there was only everybody, if you put all the wages together in all of Galilee for an entire year, you would only have 600 talents. 600. So what's going on here is that apparently, somehow, this guy got in way deep. And it's probably just hyperbole here because this Jesus is just saying there's no way this guy could possibly ever pay this debt back. We're talking about 100 million days wages for the average worker. There's no getting back from that kind of debt. The slave must have lost a lot of big bets. And Jesus is using this to make a point. How much is God willing to sacrifice for us? More money than we can count. How much is God willing to forgive? More than we can ever imagine. Unfathomable. Not seven times, but 77 times. Notice the ease in the story by which the king forgives the slave's debt. The slave gets on his knees, begs for mercy, and the king just says, "You're forgiven." No hesitation, just forgiveness. So after the slave receives this incredible gift, he goes immediately and shakes down one of his fellow slaves for a very small amount of money, like he's some kind of mob boss. "Hey, where's my cash? I want it right now." The minute he's, and this is, by the way, this is on his way home, okay? He was about to lose everything. The king threatened to not only sell everything the guy owned, but also sell his wife and children into slavery. And this is what this guy does on the way home? The unmerciful slave failed to recognize the forgiveness that he had been given, and in turn is ungrateful for that gift, evident in how he treats his fellow slave. He failed to forgive others as he had been forgiven. Now, Jesus is clear on this. This is your obligation as a people of God to recognize the gift of grace you have received from God and from others, and then imitate that grace with your fellow person. Gratitude must be lived out in your life. Now, the king, because the slave fails so spectacularly, responds in kind. The king calls him back to his palace, says, "You did not forgive as I have forgiven you. Now I'm going to send you off to be tortured until you pay off your debt," which we know, honestly, for this guy, is impossible. Scholar Howe makes the point that Jews did not torture people. It was the Romans who were the experts in that department. And as you're hearing this, you would think this punishment sounds pretty harsh. Didn't Jesus just say, "Forgive your neighbor 77 times? What the king is doing does not sound too forgiving. He doesn't sound like he's treating the servant as he should. Here's the deal. God's unlimited grace does not mean we don't suffer the consequences of our bad behavior. This is not about being nicer to your fellow human beings. It's a chilling demand to embrace in your heart the gratitude we owe God. And from that same heart, forgive our brothers and sisters. By forgiving others, we are living out that we ourselves have accepted God's forgiveness, God's grace. And if we fail, we will be judged accordingly. Because forgiveness is at the very core of what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a part of a community of faith. And I think you all know this, right? You have been part of a church, you have been part of an organization where a failure to forgive threatens the delicate balance that we hold in this place. Failure to forgive can threaten to destroy us at our very foundation. That is how important forgiveness is to a community of faith and to our community of humanity. If we fail to forgive, we threaten the bonds that hold us together. That is why the king is so harsh. Because he knows the consequences when people fail to forgive. The consequences are deadly. So what does forgiveness look like? How do we respond to God's overwhelming gift of grace? First, our society, as we know, is full of absurd inequalities, like the servant was facing with the king. We know that part of how our economic system is built, there are always going to be winners and losers. That's a part of the deal. But we need to be a people who are seeking to bear some of that absurd inequality to make our neighbors' lives more tolerable, so they too can flourish instead of languish in the stress of poverty. Support organizations like Community Action here in our community. Organizations like The Warehouse that provide safety nets, programs that lift people out of poverty, that make it possible for them to no longer deal with that stress in their lives. That is living with the gratitude of the grace that God has given us. Finally, we need to look inside our hearts. What kind of spirit do you have living there? Is it one of self-entitlement? What the world owes me, what I am owed? Or is it one of gratitude? I would not be here today because of all the grace and love that I have been given. Are you merciless or merciful? Accept the gift of grace and the forgiveness in your heart. Allow that spirit of forgiveness and overwhelming grace to be firmly planted right there in your heart, so that when you do encounter your neighbors, you're not encountering them with a spirit of, what can you do for me? But rather, what can I do for you? Because so many before me have lifted me up. God started that. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.